the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. And thank you. Let's give our worship team, our ushers, our greeters, those that helped in the parking lot, and those that are in the nursery, and just everyone who helped make this morning possible. And good to see you here this morning. Psalm 34 is where we're going to be camping. Again, we want to ask for your help. We need everybody. It's an all-church event for the Harvest Festival on the 31st. Again, see the ladies, Katarina or Denise, at the Welcome Center afterwards, and we appreciate your support. We're continuing, and we're going to be wrapping up in this week and the next week or so, a series we began a few weeks back called Doing Life Better. Say that with me. Doing Life Better. And I told you where the series began and where it was birthed, and for those of you who've been with us for the series, you know I was doing a ride-along as a chaplain with the Warren Police Department, and at the end of the shift, an officer and I had gone through various runs and various calls and dealing with different people and different life situations and issues, and at the end of the shift, the officer said to me, you know, chaplain, he said, I've come to the conclusion that people don't know how to do life very well. And it just struck a chord with me, and it gave birth to this series, because I believe God wants us to do life better. I believe that life is complicated. I believe life is challenging. Life is confusing. But I believe God's plan of salvation was his plan for us to do life better. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God is God's manual on how to do life better. And so this series was birthed. And if you missed any of the messages, they're available. You can get a CD here, right here at the office, right here at the church. Or you can go to the website and you can download the podcast at no cost and listen and get caught up on the series. Each message in the series is individual, but it comes together as a series. And each message, we put the word better in our title. And this morning, our focus is from Psalm 34. And I want to look at this, just a few verses. There are just three verses, 12, 13, and 14, of this beautiful psalm. And I'm going to refer you to 1 Peter chapter 3, which is a parallel reference to Psalm 34, as we look at this morning's focus. What man is he that desires a better life and loves many days that he may see good? I think all of us would desire a better life and would want, and the fact that we would love the days that God has blessed us with, and that in those days we would see good. How many know that's not too much to really think or ask for? I think most people would agree that would be everybody. And so he asks a rhetorical question: what is a man and who is a person that would not want better days? What's a person and who's a person that wouldn't want a better life? Who wouldn't want good things in the days that God has blessed them with? And he goes on to tell us how to do that. He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. I want to refer you to 1 Peter chapter 3 because Peter quotes the psalmist. And if the Bible says something in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament repeats it, how many know it's pretty important? Listen to what Peter tells the New Testament church. He says, for he that would love life and desire to see better days, pretty much the same as the psalm, let him then refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. This morning, the title of this segment of our series, Doing Life Better, is The Better Life. Who is it that wouldn't desire a better life, longer days, and good things in those days? The better life. That's our focus this morning as we look to the Word of God. You know, if I took a microphone and went to the street, or if I walked up and down the aisles today and asked each of us a simple question: what would make your life better? Think about your life right now. Think about where you are, what's going on in your life right now. If I would ask you, what is one thing that would make your life better? How many know we get a lot of different answers? Some would say, I need a better job, or I need a better relationship, or I need better pay. I don't know what some of the answers might be, or you might think of something. Maybe in your mind, you could think of something. What would make your life better today. And I believe the psalmist and then Peter repeating what the psalmist said gives us three principles we're going to look at this morning on what can make our life better. Let me tell you a story about a man who was in the airport and he was getting very nervous as he was waiting in the terminal patiently and pacing as the weather was very bad and his flight was already delayed and it was threatening to be canceled. As he was walking around the terminal killing time during the delay, and as he was very nervous about what was going to happen, he noticed the life insurance machine. And he went over to it and he just kind of looked at it and he noticed that the life insurance machine was offering $100,000 worth of life insurance for only $3 if anything happened on any flights from this airport. So the man was already nervous and he thought, you know what, $3, $100,000. He thought about his family at home and he thought, you know, for $3, it's worth the peace of mind. So he took out the insurance. Feeling a little bit better, he thought, let me go get something to eat since I have some time. And he chose to eat at a Chinese restaurant. And after finishing a relaxing meal, he got a fortune cookie. And he opened up his fortune cookie, and it read this: your recent investment will pay big dividends. Now, how many know we don't get our wisdom from life from fortune cookies? We get our wisdom from life from the Word of God. And I believe in these two passages, in Psalm 34 and 1 Peter 3, these parallel references give us three principles, three life principles that will pay dividends to do life better and to have a better life. Let's look at them very carefully this morning and very simply. And this morning, I want to do this more informally and more of a teaching type of thing. Sometimes you see me get all riled up or whatever, but this morning I want you to really take in these three principles because I believe they'll make our life better. Let's look at the first one. First principle I believe the psalmist and Peter is telling us is to speak a truthful life. Speak a truthful life. Everybody say speak. How many know what we say matters? How we speak, what we speak, the tone that we speak determines what kind of life we have. Look at what the psalmist said, and look at what Peter said. He said, what man is he that desires a better life and loves many days that he may see good? The first thing he tells us, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile or deceit. Be truthful about what you say. Don't let the words that come out of your life be deceitful or misleading or deceptive. Let the words of your mouth be truthful. What a great principle for a better life. Now, I'm sure if I asked you, remember I asked the question in the beginning, what would make your life better? How many know? I don't think anyone on the street or anyone here this morning would have said, if I speak better, my life will be better. But you know, the Bible teaches us that's the first principle. Notice Peter repeats the same thing. For he that would love life and desire to see better days, if you want to see better days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. How many know the Bible is on to something very important here? That how we speak and what we speak determines the kind of days and life we have. Isn't that interesting and isn't that important? Speak a truthful life. How many of you know words matter? And Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of our tongue. Our words have the power to produce death or destruction or bad things, or has the power to produce life and good things. We want a better life. We want to see better days. We need to speak better. We need to speak life and not death. And notice this, and they that love it, they that love either to speak death or speak life, whichever we choose, they will eat the fruit of whichever one they choose. How many know our words matter not only to what happens to other people? Because how many know I can say something, or you could say something, and what we speak can be devastating to someone, can be destructive to someone, or it can be encouraging to someone, or uplifting to someone, or bettering someone. And what we say has the power to not only affect their life, but notice this, we will eat the same fruit of what we speak. Wow. Sometimes we don't think about that. Well, I said that and we think it only affects, you know what? We will eat the same fruit of what we speak. And if we want good fruit in our life, how many know we need to speak good fruit to others' lives? What we say, the words we say matter. A destructive life or a productive life depends on how we speak and what we speak. You know, James is one of those New Testament books that's just straight, flat-out good advice. Look at what James says. My beloved, so he's talking to Christians, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If we want to produce the righteousness of God, we need to follow those three things. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath and to anger. I want to particularly focus on that slow to speak. How many know it's wise to think before we speak? It's wise to stop a moment, if at all possible, and think before we say what we think we want to say. Because there's power of life and death in what's going to come out of our mouth in the next moments. Think about that just a moment. Slow to speak. Can I extend this to not only what we say out of our mouth, but let's include it in this world of technology with texting and emails and postings on Facebook and all of the other ways and expressions that words are communicated. Let me give you a good piece of advice from what James is saying when he says slow to speak. Think before you push send. Matter of fact, think, pray, then think some more, pray again, and then pray the third time before you hit send. How many know then you're probably going to be okay? How many know that's good advice? You didn't know James talked about texting. What he's saying, be slow to text. Be slow to send that email and before you hit send, because you're ready to give them a piece of your mind in love. Before you're going to set the record straight, and before you're going to tell them just how you really feel, and before you decide, I'm going to let it rip from the hip. Someone said that to me the other, I overheard them just rip into somebody. And then they saw me walk around the corner. And they said, well, I'm just keeping it real. I said, no, you're not keeping it real. You're keeping it raw. Slow to speak. We want better days, better life. Speak better. Slow to speak. Look at this. For the tongue is little, but it steers your whole life. Think about it. Our tongue has the power, like a ship, to steer the whole, like a horse. He uses a ship analogy and a horse's bridle analogy in the same path. He says, that tongue is a little thing. No one can tame it. It has the power for poison or for positive. It has the ability to steer your whole life in a certain direction. That's why the psalmist and Peter says, if those who desire a better life, speak and control your tongue and speak good and not evil and not guile. It steers our whole life, a fire that cannot be tamed. Out of the same mouth come blessings and cursings. This ought not be. I was walking out of a grocery store many years ago, and I was walking behind a man with my shopping cart full of things going to the parking lot, and he was in front of me, and the door in front of him, the person in front of him didn't hold the door, and the door slammed, and his cart bumped into it, and immediately he let out a curse word. I walked over and said, sir, can I help you a moment, and tried to get him out the door. We got out the door, and he turned to me, and he said, God bless you. I guess it just matters who you decide to talk to that day. One man got cursed and I got blessed. And the praise is yours. And the praise is yours. And then we go home and we text. Or we don't get to the parking lot. Did you see what he did today? Did you hear what Pastor said? That never happens here, I know. You wait till you go home and then you rip me, right? I'm only kidding. Believe me, if I worried about everything like that. How many can see why the psalmist and Peter and now even James tell us a better life comes when we speak better? You know, when we were in college, my wife and I, every day at chapel, at the end of chapel, we would pray this psalm, this word. I want to give you a little tip. Take this little verse and make it a prayer when you get up in the morning. Here's a real practical thing that'll help you have a better day. Start your day off by saying this before you talk to anybody. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Now listen, how many know what's in our heart is what comes out of our mouth? So that's why the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'll tell you what, if we prayed that every morning to start the day and get our focus on, today's going to be a better day because I'm going to speak better. Lord, let every word that comes out of my mouth today be acceptable to you. Be pleasing to you, not just what I want, but what's acceptable to you. How many know that would start the day off a whole lot better? The second principle that the psalmist and Peter gives us for a better life is not only to speak a truthful life, keep our tongue from evil and guile, but to sow a fruitful life. Say so. You see, what we speak matters, but what we sow matters. Now, when the Bible uses the term sow, it means to plant. And how many know we're in that season? And by the way, thank you, Jim, Terry, and Judy, and everybody who helped at the garden. I don't know how far you got with everything, but wrapping up the season, another successful season with the community garden, blessing our neighbors. Thank you so much. I saw some things at the, are there some bags? Bags of things on the table out there left from the garden that were overflow from the garden that was left. Help yourself to that. And thank you. Do you guys still need help? Or are we still in the process of, you smile like we always need help. Would you guys wave over here? See Jim and Terry, anybody that would like to help. Maybe you've got a few hours sometime this week. Say, I don't sing a song. I can't teach a class, but I can help in the garden. That's a ministry. And our neighbors, are blessed and have been telling us, and we've been hearing some wonderful things from the community because of our garden. Thank you, guys. Let's give them all a hand again for. Now, along with the idea of that, how many know what you sow is what you're going to reap? And if we speak better, we will eat the fruit of what we speak. If we sow better, we will also reap the better of our fruit. Notice this. What is a man that desires a better life and loves to see many days? Keep his tongue from evil and lips from evil. Depart from evil and do good. Do good. Sow good seeds. Plant good acts and acts of kindness and love and joy and peace. And sow the fruits, sow the seeds of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Sow seeds that will produce good fruit. Do good. Depart from doing evil and do good. Notice what Peter says, for he that loves life and would see better days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from evil. Let him shun evil and do good. How many know that's so simple and so practical? But if we want a better life, sow better seeds. Sow good seeds. Plant in people's lives, plant in others good things. And how many know we will reap the fruit of the things that we sow? Galatians 6 tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever, say whatsoever. Whatsoever we sow. How many know when you guys at the garden planted tomato seeds, you didn't look and go, oh, we hope we get peppers. No, you plant tomato seeds and you hope to get tomatoes, and guess what you'll get? Now, how many know we could plant tomato seeds and go out every day and fast and pray and bind and rebuke the devil and say, I want peppers, I want peppers, I want peppers in Jesus' name. Guess what you'll get? Tomatoes. You could pray all you want. You could, and here, here's what's interesting. You know what? You could plant, you could go out and you could sow a good, you could go out and sow good seed or bad seed. But how many know, if whatever seed we sow, how many know we can't then go out days later and say, gee, I'm surprised I got that. Some people are surprised at the harvest we get. Just look back at what the seed you planted. What did you sow? How many know a lot of people like to sow bad seed and then pray for crop failure? Pray, oh God, I know I but you gotta, what we sow is what we're gonna. Now here's the good part of it. If we'll sow good seed, you don't have to pray for crop failure, you pray for an abundance. If you sow kindness, you'll reap kindness, and guess what? You pray for it in abundance. But if you sow criticism, you're not going to get encouragement. If you, what does the Bible say? To him that shows himself friendly will have friends. I need a friend, then be a friend. Sow friendship. Here's an interesting thing. Think about your life right now. What would make your life better? I asked that question this morning. What's one thing that you think would make your life better this morning? That one thing determines your seed. I want more peace and quiet in my home. That make my life better. You know what? Then start sowing peace and quiet in your home. Stop yelling. You can't walk around yelling all day and then say, I really want peace and quiet. I'm not trying to be funny. I think we need to, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What is it that you'd like to receive into your life? That's the seed. Some people say, I don't know what I should do to turn this situation around. I don't know what to do to make this situation in my life better. What is it that you'd like the outcome to be? That's the seed you need to start planting. Does that make any sense? Do good. Start doing good. Start sowing seeds for a fruitful life. Good fruit. Notice this. There's two sides. If we sow to the flesh, that is, if we sow to our human emotions, if we just keep reacting out of life and acting out of haste and emotion and anger and frustration? How many know if we act and sow things out of anger and frustration, what will we reap? Anger and frustration. How many ever noticed the angrier you get, the more angrier the other person gets? The louder you get, the louder they get. The more frustrated you get, the more guess what? Change the seed. Someone at some point's got to say, we got to stop this crazy cycle. And someone's got to start saying something different. If we sow to our human flesh, our human emotions, our human mind, whatever comes to our mind, the first thing that comes to our thoughts, we will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. All these things, there's no law. You can sow and you can do as much of those as you want. If you'll sow those seeds, you will reap those seeds. So if you need love, start sowing love. If you need and want peace, start sowing peace. If you need and want joy, start sowing joy. Do good. Sow for a fruitful life, and we will reap a fruitful harvest. And be not weary in well-doing. Don't, and here's the thing. Say, but Pastor, I've been trying. You know, I started to change the cycle. I started saying good things. I started speaking better things. Started doing better things. And it's just not happening fast enough. Listen, don't give up. How many know you don't go out one day? How long did it take us when we planted the stuff at the garden to get the stuff to start coming up? How long did it take, guys? Month or more? How many know you don't go out and sow one day and then go out and dig up the harvest the next day? A week or two. You've got to continue to do that. And listen, what we're reaping today is what we sowed a month ago. See, we thought we woke up today and it was just, well, that's what happened. What the harvest we're getting today is a result of what, and guess what? What we sow today will be down the road. It doesn't mean necessarily what you do today will be tomorrow. It doesn't always come up that fast, but it will come up. Don't be weary. So don't give up saying, but I'm tired of doing good. I'm the one who always seems to have to be the good guy. I'm the one who always has to say, I'm sorry. I'm the one who always has to give in. I'm the one who, you know what? Keep doing it. You'll never get in trouble by continuing to do good. Guess what? You'll never get in trouble. Keep doing good. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard sometimes to say, well, how come I always have to be the mature one? How come I always have to, you know what? Just don't be weary in your well-doing. Because listen, in due season, we will reap that good. We will reap that good if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good. Every time there's an opportunity to do something good, do it. How many know you don't have to think about it? How many know the devil's not going to tell you to do something good? And how many know your human flesh is probably not going to be behind? Why don't you do something good for them? More likely you're saying, well, I don't know if they really deserve that. So how do you know it's God? You know it's God. If you got a thought in your mind to do something good, it's more than 99.9% it's probably God. Because the devil won't do it and your human flesh doesn't want to do good. It's only God who wants, and when you get a thought to do good, every opportunity you get to do something good, sow that seed, not only for their betterment, but for our blessing, and that we will reap the harvest. And notice this, do good to all people, even those who don't deserve good, even those that are not doing good, and especially to those of the household of faith. How many know we should do even more good for those who are doing the right things? I don't forget, someone said to me one time, man, you seem to be pretty generous with your kids and you seem to do a lot for them and you seem to do, I said, as long as they're doing good, I'm going to keep blessing them. I'm going to keep incurring. I don't have to pay for lawyers. I don't have to bail them out of jail. I don't have to pay for this or do that. I'd rather give it to them and invest in them while they're doing good. Listen, when they're doing the right things, you should bless that. And you should reward good things. And when even when they're not, you can still do good things with correction, with instruction, and with doing the right thing. Do good to all people, even those of the household. Now, I'm going to show you one more scripture under this, do good and sow for a fruitful life. It's very important. How many know the Bible tells us to love even our enemies? Now, I know nobody in here has any enemies. And everybody that you know agrees with you, likes you. So I know this is going to, these next few minutes really ain't going to help anybody, but just for a moment, let me just, since it's in the Bible, I should talk about it anyways. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you? Wait a minute. I get do good to those who are doing good. But do good to them that hate you? You want to change the cycle? You want to change the tone? You want to change and have a better life? Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those who use you. If you do only good to them which do good to you, what's the benefit? For sinners do that. How many know people who don't even believe in God, people who don't want to do any good, will do something good for someone who does something good? But it takes a real child of God, it takes a real believer, it takes a real mature person to do good for someone who doesn't deserve the good. Do good to all, and great will be your reward, and you'll act like a child of God. How many know children of God are the ones who act good even when good is not rendered? I know that's hard, but that's how we have a better life. You know, do good to those. Could I ask you someone this morning? I said before, and I was being facetious, all of us have people who don't like us. All of us have people who've said bad things about us. All of us have had people that have used us. Let me ask you a real important question. I know in my situation, because I'll be honest, those who have spoken bad against me and have used me or misused me or don't like me, how many know the human thing is to think, well, how can I get back at them? Or how can I at least, at the very least, avoid them? But here's the question, because as I was preparing for this, God brought someone to my mind. And I thought, Lord, why are you bringing that person to my mind? I said, well, before you tell everybody else, you got to deal with this. I said, okay, I got this person in mind. And then the Lord asked me a question, the same question I'm going to ask you, because I did what he asked me to do after he told me this week. He said to me, when's the last time you prayed for that person? I thought, never. And I'm being honest. When's the last time you blessed them? When's the last time you did something good for them? Instead of when you get to the funeral home and you see them on the other side, walk the other way, or at the wedding that you know you're going to run into that person, right? Come on. When's the last time you prayed? And God dealt with me and I stopped right where I was in the preparation of this message. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person right now. I don't want to. I really don't like them. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. I don't know. I just was having a hard time with it. But I stopped a moment. I said, all right, Lord, bless them. You know what I wanted to pray? Can I be real honest with you? I wanted to pray, Lord, bless them if they deserve it. And how many know that's a wrong prayer? Because maybe they're doing better than when they dealt with me. Let me ask you, think of a person this morning, and when's the last time you prayed for them? Maybe we should stop right now and have a little prayer meeting. You get the point. Listen, I'm not saying this is easy, but it's simple. Come on. I mean, the Bible gives us simple principles. They're just not easy to do. But listen, notice, great will be our reward. I thought, you know what? Okay, God, I'm going to hold you to that. And you know what I've been praying for these last days since I prayed ever? Okay, I prayed for them. I'm looking for something good out of this now. I've prayed for them each day. Honest to God, I have prayed for that person each day since, I think it was Tuesday, I started finalizing the notes on this. I've been working on it for a month, but for the last couple of days, I've been finalizing everything. And as I was finalizing, I've been praying for them each day, but at the same time, I've been praying a little selfishly, but I want something out of this. I'm looking for something good out of it. I'm going to hold you to your word. That if I'm going to do that, I'm going to bite the bullet and pray for them. I'm looking for something good from you. Now, I haven't seen it yet. Although, I can't say, you know what, my life has been blessed. And I'm thankful. But think about that. Do good. Sow for a fruitful life. Let me give you the third one real fast. Say speak. Speak for a truthful life. Sow for a fruitful life. And then seek for a peaceful life. Seek a peaceful life. Look at what the psalmist says. Who is the man that desires a better life and loves many days? Keep his tongue from evil, speak right, depart from evil, do good. And then the last part he says, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Peter repeats the same thing. Who wants better days? Control your tongue, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. Now, how many will agree we could all use a little less drama in life? You know how we get less drama? We've got to seek peace. Now, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is an awareness and the ability to see God in the midst of conflict. Pursue peace. Seek peace. Make every effort to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Blessed are the troublemakers. No, the Beatitude says, blessed are the peacemakers, those who make it a priority to make peace. We need to be on the situation that whatever the situation, we should always look for, where can I make peace? Where can I find peace? Where can I bring peace into this situation? That's a person who's going to live a better life, is when they seek peace. Let me show you a couple of scriptures that are very important. For the kingdom of God is not fighting over meat and drink. How many know in the New Testament they were arguing over who was more spiritual? We eat this meat, you eat this thing that was offered to idols and that. You hold the communion cup, you use wine, you use grape juice, you do it on Monday, you do it on Saturday, you do it once a month. How many churches and people, Christians, want to fight over all that stuff? And you know what the Bible says? The kingdom of God is not fighting over our pet theologies and our own little laws and rules. He says, the kingdom of God is doing right, seeking peace, and living in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And notice this, for those who serve Christ, these are the things that are acceptable. If we really want to serve Christ, here's the things that are acceptable to God, and we'll even find the approval of men. Let us follow after the things that make peace. Follow after the things that make peace. Which path are we going down? The path that seeks revenge, the path that seeks to cause more drama, the path that seems to stir the pot, or the path that will make peace. Notice this, and the things that edify, that build up, things that don't tear down, but things that build up. Do we follow after things that will build people up or tear people down? Follow after peace. If we want a better life, he says to seek peace. In other words, what he's saying here is start with the things that you have in common. You having trouble with people? I have trouble with people sometimes. You having trouble in certain relationships? You having issues with maybe some other Christians? No, never happens. Are you having trouble with family? Having trouble with people at work? Yeah. It was rhetorical, brother. So then the Bible tells us then follow after peace. In other words, seek peace. I appreciate your honesty. Then, brother, let's talk a moment. Then you know what? If you're having, then seek peace. What does that mean? That means start with what you have in common. Don't dwell on what you disagree on and what you don't have in common. Start with what you have in common. You know what, if the Christians in churches, that's what I love about our Sunday night once a month prayer meeting, and Rick leads that up for us with all the churches in Warren. I mean, all the churches in Warren, we don't have all the same theology. There's some of the pastors I disagree with what they preach. How many know they disagree with what I preach? They have different doctrine when it comes to the Holy Spirit or different whatever. But you know what? We get together once a month for prayer for the common good of the city. But you know what we all have in common is that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. That's how you seek peace. I don't blast the other churches because they don't agree with me on certain things. I don't blast other pastors or other Christians because they don't line up with my political views or my life view or my worldview. I don't tell them they're wrong, and I don't trash them for not agreeing with me. I'd rather say, what do we have in common? And how many know if we thought about it, as believers, we have more in common than we don't. And that we as believers and as children of God, if we want a better life, we ought to seek and follow after the things that bring us together and in common. Start with the things that are in common. And not only start with the things that are in common, he says, but then do the things that edify or build up. That's what he means, to seek peace. Follow after the things that we have in common and start with the things that edify. Let me show you another important verse. If it be possible, and if it all depends on you, live peacefully with all mankind. Wow. How many know that's quite a task? Be peaceful with all people. Notice this, and I want to show you something. I want to break this down because there's some important principles here. Notice the first word, if. If it be possible. Let me say something important, but don't listen to just this, but hear this. How many know sometimes it's not possible to live at peace with some people? Now, hear me, but don't just fixate on this. But that's a truthful statement. The Bible says, if it be possible. That means the Bible's leaving it open to room that in some certain circumstances, in the most extreme situations, in situations where everything else has been exhausted and even God, who can do the impossible, can't change it, if it's not possible, then there is a room for the fact that sometimes it's not possible, but how many know that's the exception and not the rule? How many know the rule is God always wants us to pursue peace? But the Bible leaves open a small crack and says sometimes it's not possible. I can tell you, in over the 30-something years I've been pastoring, I've told one person that it was okay for them to not be involved in a relationship. One time out of 30 years. All the others, I told them, you pursue peace. There are some situations, it's not possible. But that's the exception and not the rule. Now listen, having said that, we can't take that, and there's some people saying, see, that lets me off the hook. If I want to ditch him, or if I want to ditch her, or if I want to quit my job, or if I want to just turn my back and disown my family, and I want to, listen, that doesn't give you the license to do that. That's the exception, not the rule. God always wants us to pursue peace. But I agree that there are sometimes it's not possible. It is rare. I told you there's only one time in all these years that I felt comfortable at all. And even at that, there was a part of me that wasn't, I was 99% sure. But I want to tell you something. Don't stop there. If it be possible, listen, as if it all depends on you. Listen to me carefully. Before you decide to take that exception clause, make sure all of it depends on you. You know what I hear all the time? They got to come to me first. They're going to have to change first. And until that happens, in other words, they're saying the only way we'll have peace, it all depends on them. Listen, as long as it all depends on them, you don't have the out clause. Oh, come on. You can't have one half the verse and not the other part. If you want, well, it's not possible. It means you have to say, it's all on me. It's all up to me. I have to do everything possible. I have to exhaust every single possibility before I say it's not possible. But if you're still putting it on them, how many know you're not there yet? Oh, come on. We want them to come to us. We want them to do this. What about, I understand in relationships that there's degrees of fault. What do I mean by that? Well, how many of you have ever been in a situation that said, but I'm right and they're wrong? By the way, did you notice in the word relationship, there's no such thing as right and wrong? What's the word in relationship? Relate. It means learn how to get along. Doesn't mean be right or wrong. How many know in a relationship the goal is not to be right or wrong? God was right and he came and died. While we were sinners, we didn't deserve it. God said, they're wrong, they're sinful, they're bad, they deserve hell. It all depends on me. I'm going to save them. Thank God for that. Here's the thing. If we make the goal of the relationship right or wrong, how many know we set ourselves up to be adversarial? Immediately. Because somebody has to be right then, and somebody has to be wrong. Can I say to you, listen to me carefully. If you've been wronged and you feel like you've been hurt and you feel like there's just no way in peace, listen to me carefully. Even if you're 90% right, that means you're still 10% wrong. Oh, come on. And that means you need to change your 10% first. You have to do everything to make peace with your 10%. As if it depends, all depends on you. Take them out of the equation. You're waiting for them. The Bible says, take the other person out of the equation. If you want peace, you put it all on you. You focus on you. You change you. You be a better you, and you being a better you will be the start of being a better you in them. Come on, how many know that's so important? Seek peace. You want better days? You want a better life? I know sometimes we've been dealt the lie. Well, if I get rid of this relationship, it'll be better. Well, the grass may be greener on the other side. You still have to cut it and trim it and mow it. Still grass. Oh, come on. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's possible that you're in one of those exceptions, that there's just no hope. Maybe I'm naive to think that with God there's always hope. And I want to tell you, I want to be the kind of person that exhausts every single possibility, and I'm going to put it all on me and not on them. That's how we bring peace. Live peacefully with all mankind. Let me show you one last reference for this. We exhort you on how you ought to live in order to please God and to abound in good things. For this is the will of God, abstain from sexual immorality by learning to control your own body. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to go there. But how many know if we want a better life, be righteous? What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's not the burden of this morning's message, but how many know that'll give you a better life if you stay away from things that'll destroy you sexually? That you don't take advantage of other people, and that you make every effort to lead a peaceful life. I love this. He tells us how to have a peaceful life. Minding your own business. Now, you got to love the Bible. You got to love the Bible for its practicalness. You want to live a peaceful life? Get your business out of their business and worry about your own business. Deal with your own business before you try to tell everybody how to deal with their business. You know, it's funny how we know what's best for everybody else. You know, they really should see. Oh, I wish someone, you know, there's some of you thought, I'm going to get this CD for someone that I know. I mean, no, this CD's not for someone you know. This CD's for us. Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They really needed to hear that. How do you live a peaceful life? How do you lead a peaceful life? He said, make every effort to live a drama-less life. How do you do that? Mind your own business. Work hard with your own hands and earn the respect of others. That's some great advice. That's how we lead a peaceful life. Do everything you can to lead a peaceful life. All right. The psalmist and Peter both start out by asking the rhetorical question. Who would like to have a better life? And then he gives us three principles. Come on, speak. Speak a truthful life. Secondly, sow. Say sow. Sow a fruitful life. And then seek. Seek a peaceful life. I know that in the beginning when I asked you what would make your life better, I probably don't think any of those were on your list. I know you thought some more money, a better job, you know, et cetera, would make your life better. But I tell you what, if we will take to heart these three practical principles from the Word of God, we'll see better days and we'll experience a better life. Now, I asked the question, what would make our life better? I'm going to give you three action items. How many know you can't? This is not the kind of message where raise your hand, let's pray the sinner's prayer, although we always give people an opportunity to come to Jesus. How many know this is one of those messages that requires us to take some action now? This is not something you come to an altar and pray about. How many know you don't have to pray about this? How many know when it's in the Bible, you don't have to pray about it? I remember I shared something from the Word with someone in a counseling meeting, and I shared them the Word. They said, well, I don't really have a peace about that. I said, it doesn't matter if you have a peace about it. You have to obey it. I mean, you don't have to have a peace about it. You don't have to like what the Bible says, but if we want it to work, we got to obey it. Let me give you three action items that will start today. Because how many know we can't, I can't change those three things all in one thing, but we can start. The first thing we can do is start listening to ourselves talk. Before we can speak better, we got to start realizing how we're speaking. I want to tell you, this is a true story. When our son Andrew was born with a birth defect, we ended up 21 days in Children's Hospital. And we spent 21 days in Children's Hospital, and I can tell you by the 10th day, I was so frustrated, I was so disappointed, I was so wondering if we were ever going to get out of here, if this kid was ever going to be better. And even as a pastor at the time, my faith was not high and was not in the direction it really needed to be. And I remember everybody that came in the room, even the nurses and family and even people who came to encourage us and pray for us. So I remember I just kind of had that tone and that way that, yeah, well, okay, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, sure, pray. It's okay. My heart wasn't in it. I was really frustrated. And I was really hurt and I was really disappointed. But you know what? One night, I'll never forget, I was walking down the hall and there was a mother in another room that was in a worse situation than our son was in. And I watched this mother over that child just praying and blessing God and just worshiping over that child. And it so convicted me. I went back to the room and I said, Lord, forgive me for the way I've been talking. Forgive me for the way I've been speaking. All the junk that's come out of my life, all the negativity, all the unbelief and the lack of praise and the lack of faith and the lack of coming out. I said, Lord, you've got to forgive me. And I'm sorry. And from that day forward, I started to change the way I talked. I first had to recognize how I was talking. I hate to acknowledge that to you, but it's the truth. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you're in a situation where just stop a moment and listen to yourself talk. You know what I did for the next day is I took a pen and paper, and every time I said something, I wrote it down. And I looked at that paper, and I said, boy, I got some work to do. And when people came in the room, I didn't just go around just saying anything foolishly and stupid. I started just speaking the word of God. I started just beginning to praise God and thank God. I started to just beginning to change the tone and the words of my mouth. And I'm not suggesting that that was the only thing that brought my son through that. But I'll tell you what, it brought me through that. I needed to stop and listen to myself carefully and say, how am I talking? And you know what? That's probably a good thing for us to do all. It's probably a good thing for me to do even now in my life, even with good things going on. We could all examine, how are we talking? What are the words that are coming out of our mouth? What are we saying to the people that we care about? And what are we saying out of our life? The second thing is examine honestly our harvest. Take an honest look and say, what am I reaping? I'm getting all this negativity. I'm getting all this feedback. I'm getting all this. Then ask yourself, what are you sowing? You got to examine the harvest, because what we sow is what we're going to reap. And listen, if we don't like what we're reaping, then change what we're sowing. Start changing. If we don't want to get that back to us, then stop sowing those things and start sowing good things. And then thirdly, take prayerfully a step toward peace. Now, I'm not suggesting if you've been dealing with a situation in a relationship that requires a lot more than one sermon. But you know what? You can take one step today. Maybe that first step is to simply just pray for that person. As I said earlier, maybe you just never thought to pray for them because it's hard to just pray for them. I took a step this week toward that person that came to my mind this week. And I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to pray for them because he challenged me. When's the last time you pray? Maybe that's your first step, is to just pray for that person. Maybe you can't say anything to them. Maybe you don't know what else to do. Maybe you're at a standstill. You know what? Then at least take that one small step today and say, I'm going to at least pray for them and pray for the situation because I don't know what else to do. How many know that's a good start? That may not solve everything today, but how many know those three simple steps, if we will start with that, how many know tomorrow will be better? And as we build on that, each day will be better. I'm done. You can say amen. My wife did. She just said good.